I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our good friend Ken Carman from 92.3 The Fan, our wonderful affiliate in Cleveland, joins us now to discuss all of the hype that has surrounded the 2019 Cleveland Browns and the most recent article, a GQ deep dive and Q&A on Odell Beckham. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, DA. Thanks for having me.
Ken, I really enjoy you. I enjoy your work. I think you're a super talented guy. I really like the city of Cleveland. Well, what the hell has happened to you guys? I mean, you just tweeted out you were joining the show, and now there is a string of tweets from your listeners. Go get them, Ken. Defend our honor. I'll be your hype man. They need you, Ken. Go get them. Why is everybody so bloodthirsty in Cleveland?
Because everybody's excited because they have Odell Beckham Jr. and Mraz and other Giants fans don't anymore. That's why.
Yeah, but Mraz isn't conducting this interview. He books them. He doesn't do them. Why does everybody think that he's on this show doing it?
Well, and that's a great question. And I think maybe Mraz ought to know his place a little bit better because he's the guy who called me up before this all happened because there were conversations about Odell Beckham Jr. being available, Dave Gettleman making him available. And Mraz called us up and made an ass out of himself in front of the entire city saying that we were wasting our time and wasting our listeners' time talking about Odell Beckham Jr., that he would never, ever be anything but a New York Giant. Well, guess who won the pony? It were Browns fans, not Sean Mraz.
Well, can you please clarify in your show that I'm not an idiot, dunce, moronic Giants fan like he is, and I do not represent New York Giants fans, that this show does not represent New York Giants fans, that he is his own clown?
All right, I will do that after the interview. I'm driving right now, though, so I will do that right after the interview.
Okay. Also, why are Browns fans so combative? I mean, it feels like you guys have the pitchforks out already. I mean, geez, relax. Oh, you finally got a good football team.
This is 20 years. This is 20 years culminating into 1 year because for a lot of years, see, what happens is when your team's really bad, you take anything that you can and you try to turn it into something positive because I'm guilty of this as well. I don't want to admit that my team is terrible. So we say, oh, you don't understand us. You don't get us. And we defend really trash moves. And that's what happened for 20 years. I mean, we defended a lot of garbage. And then now the team's actually good. And 7 months ago, we were everybody's favorite team. And now it seems like everybody wants to say, well, hold up. We're getting close to the games. You actually got to go win games. And you were only 7-8-1 last year. A lot of people say, well, hold on right now. We were just 0-16 before that, but we're coming for everybody now. So a lot of people are pretty excited. Oh, yeah.
Ken Carman joins us from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Now, isn't there a danger here, though, by predicting Super Bowls and getting ahead of yourself? Isn't it a little premature? Wouldn't it be good just to go 9-7 and be happy with that?
By the fans or by the team?
No, by the fans.
Oh, it doesn't matter about the fans. The fans can dream as crazily as they want to. If they think they're going to a Super Bowl, then they can think they're going to a Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's fine. I don't mind that.
But when you're talking about 20 years of pent-up frustration being kicked when you're down, isn't there an emotional danger in expecting to win a Super Bowl or being prepared for this glory and then it not happening and then you crash off the cliff?
All right, so what do you think is going to happen? What do you think the Browns are going to do this year?
I think they're like a 9-7 team.
Do they make the playoffs?
I could see them being a wild card. I could see them making the playoffs. And I think that that would be a tremendous step forward. I think that would be a really nice growth year. And that maybe next year you're talking about competing for 11-5, 12-4, a bye, going deep in the playoffs. I think it's really premature to be talking about Super Bowls with a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 03.
And I would probably agree, but we're not talking between you and I. We're talking between fans, and fans, fans always go nuts. But I think if the Browns were to finish 9-7 and make a wild card and get to the postseason, they got to get to the postseason. But if they got to the postseason, a lot of people would be going, okay, this is a great step forward. Like, I don't think there'd be a big emotional downfall and crash over, okay, they were a playoff team. Like, I think a lot of people would go, okay, now what do we do to make this team a lot better? I don't think anybody would be calling for heads or anything like that. I think fans would be pretty excited.
Now, there's a series of potential pitfalls and potholes along this road to the postseason for the Browns. I mean, number one, a Freddie Kitchens-led team, and he's never been a head coach before. Number two, Baker Mayfield's emotion and volatility in just year number two. Number three, how many targets are there for both Jarvis and Odell? Number four, it's Odell, obviously. Number five, the expectations. Number six, a division that has the Steelers and the Ravens in it. There are so many ways this could not be 9-7 and could be 7-9. Isn't there hesitation, knowing that there is so many things that could go wrong here, to really buy totally in?
Well, I had to bring it up a couple of months ago, and it was weird because, boy, I'm a pretty excitable person, especially when it comes to them. And so a lot of people were going, well, wait a minute. Because I sat there and I said, wait a minute, you gotta play these games. You're not sneaking up on anybody anymore. Like, there were games, even when the Browns were 1-31 for 2 years, they were in some of them games. But you're not sneaking up on anybody. So I'm just going, okay, 9-7. If they went 7-9 and they didn't make the postseason, yeah, there might be some uncomfortable conversations we might be forced to have.
No doubt.
It's true.
No doubt. I know it's only Jeopardy James, but James actually built a fortune on being a sports gambler. And he said in the Peter King column the other day that the Browns are the worst bet in the NFL. And I think actually statistically he's right, because the only five teams that have better odds at winning the Super Bowl are the final four teams from last year, the Saints, the Rams, the Patriots, and the Chiefs, and then the Bears, who won the division last year. So to put the Browns as the sixth best odds in the NFL at making a Super Bowl, that is the worst bet in the NFL right now, isn't it?
That's money moving. I think people always get it confused going, oh, they're 16-1 odds, my God. Okay, those are odds. That's money. That's gambling. That's not really what's tangible. And we don't have a lot of team. There's a lot of players here in this city that we look at and we think, man, these guys are incredible. They're very talented, but there's not a lot of experience in the postseason. That's why it's like, hey, just get to the postseason, get a game under your belt. Even if you get drilled, get a game under your belt, and then let's see where it goes from there. I'm trying to be pragmatic about it, but yeah, if a fan wants to get excited, a fan can go ahead and get excited. That's their right as a fan, but I'm more with you, and I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm more with Jeopardy James, where they don't have a lot of playoff experience. I think you got to learn how to win at that level before you actually go and win everything at that level.
So I'm guessing that you read the entirety of the Odell Beckham profile in GQ. And
most of it, yeah.
The one thing that kept coming up, he's obviously this remarkable talent, but did you feel like it was a little exhausting how much he spoke about his desire for happiness? And I'm not here to tell anybody not the pursuit of happiness is not worthy, because it is, but it felt like he was totally consumed about, is he happy now? Was he happy then? What will make him happy? When will he be happy? When will he happiest? And some of that could be directed from the author of the article and the questions, but it feels like Odell is really in a blanket of Odell, and that worries me. For a guy that needs to be perhaps your most important player, would it worry you?
Reading that, I think anything's going to worry you, because I don't know how he's going to react. I wanted him desperately. I wanted him in the draft when they drafted him, when the Giants drafted him. I wanted him number 9 overall, and they ended up trading up and taking Justin Gilbert that year. I think right now he is in a world where he's still a very young man. He's very young. And before, he was consumed with getting to the NFL, getting what comes with the NFL, being that type of player, and now he is. And I think he thought probably in his early days that would set everything and he'd be nothing but happy from then on out. Yeah, there's probably more expectations than he thought. Life is probably different than he thought. Even though he's a major star, the media speculation is so consuming. And I disagree with a lot of people who look at this in this perspective, where I have to question the Giants, where it seems that they have made him a complete scapegoat in every way possible. And I think that's really wrong. But I think that means a lot to him, and I think that really bothers him, and that affects his happiness. So I think he's trying to figure himself out. And I don't know if there's anything but time that can figure him out. I mean, D.A., I don't know how old you are, but I'm sure at 24, 25, you were a much different person then than where you are now. And I think that he won't really figure himself out probably until another 10 years, 12 years, and by that time his career's over.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. Ken Carmen joins us from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. I'm 40 now, and when I was 24, 25 years old, I definitely was a different guy. I worry, though, about Odell, because now is the now. I mean, if the Browns do go 7-9 and Odell is frustrated with Freddie Kitchens, or he is frustrated with lack of targets, or he is frustrated with an offense, or he does feel like the scapegoat from fans or a target of media criticism, unfortunately, that's his reality. He doesn't have until 40 to figure that thing out. And True. So I worry a little bit that he is so strong about criticism, about being blamed, about being a hero, about whatever it is in his ego, that, man, for a team that has not been to the playoffs in 17 years, this is a lot to put on him emotionally that he doesn't need to wear like this. You know, it feels like even keel would be a way better place to be if you are Odell Beckham.
I don't know if he responds like that. I really don't know. And I want him to care. I really do want him to care, because I've dealt with a lot of players. I've been close with this team nearly a decade now. I've dealt with a lot of players, D.A., who don't care. And you can tell they don't care. They don't care about being there. They were either vets who were there for a retirement check, or they were guys who wanted out desperately, or guys who did not even like being drafted by them. I've dealt with a lot of guys who didn't care. He cares. So if he cares, then I could get him to focus on, or he could get himself to focus on understanding that this is probably not his life's work. In the words of Chuck Knoll, this isn't his life's work. He's going to have to find fulfillment after football. But I think he'll have to realize, and I think that being so consumed with this will help him realize, that what he does here, this will be the defining chapter of his career. If they falter, and he is a mess, and they are a mess, and he gets shipped out or something like that, now that's two teams. That's your problem. That's not the Giants or Browns' problem. So if something terrible happens, that's on Odell. But if something great happens, the Giants made a horrible mistake, the Browns got providence, they were better than they've ever been before. My goodness, if they do something incredible, that would be legendary, considering I don't know if we've ever seen a team in the NFL lose like this for this long amount of time. It would be something that would be historic for him, Baker Mayfield, the whole group. I think that if he feels that, if he feels it's that important, he will be able to focus on it more rather than not caring. I'm afraid if he says he doesn't care about what people think of him.
So my final question is going to be the importance of a Browns winner. And let's go ahead and let's dream about a Super Bowl championship in Cleveland. How much different is a Browns championship than what LeBron just accomplished, or what the Indians could accomplish, let's say even say this year, or let's say when they were in the World Series a couple of years ago in game number 7? How much different is that for the city?
I think there's more diehard long-term Indians fans than there are Cavs fans. Well, it's a great question. People say that because they got to stall and think, and I'm saying that because I have to stall and think. There are a lot more hardcore Indians fans that have been around a longer time than there are with the Cavs. The Cavs have always been seen. I was always a Cavs fan growing up because they felt like they were the bastard son of Cleveland. And so it meant a ton to me for the Cavs to win the championship. But overall, it wouldn't pale in comparison, but also in Major League Baseball, we understand, like, Indians players, you don't have that type of payroll. Indians players have to go. NFL players, We have them here, we use them, and they're gone. LeBron turned the table about that. LeBron decides when he wants to stay and when he wants to go. And I think that a lot of fans have a problem adjusting to that, and I think that you're seeing that in a lot of other cities. I think that this is the new NBA model, and it's created by LeBron. So there's, as soon as the Browns or Indians win something, I think it's a tremendously different connotation and a tremendously different feeling with the fan base. I don't think it ever just completely goes away and people don't care. I think some people are kind of crazy about it because there's an anti-LeBron sentiment by a very small minority of fans, but they're loud. But I think a lot of fans will look at this differently and probably put it above, because you fought for the Browns, you had them come back, you dealt with 20 years of agony, then they won a championship. The Indians haven't won a championship in over 70 years. It's a family affair with them. The Cavs felt more like, the Cavs are great, but it felt more like LeBron. I think a lot of people will come to that conclusion when the Browns and Indians win some.
So if the Browns won a Super Bowl, Baker Mayfield or Odell Beckham, would they surpass LeBron in terms of how beloved they are for the city?
Cleveland, yes. Cleveland, yes. Akron, I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Wow. So Baker Mayfield with a Super Bowl could be more beloved than LeBron James in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Ken Carman joining us this morning here on the show, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Listen to him daily there. It's always a good listen. And just remind your listeners that Mraz does not represent any of us. He is just his own idiot.
Well, I'm going to have to thank you, because they're definitely going to play my answer to you tomorrow, and I'm going to get a bunch of heat from LeBron lovers. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Ken. Be good, buddy.
Take care.
All right, man. Ken Carman joining us, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. You see that? Picking up the pieces. Bilotti and I and Bogish do this every single day. Pick up the pieces from Mraz. Mraz runs his mouth in Cleveland. And now on 92.3 The Fan, on the most popular sports radio show, on the most popular sports radio station in one of the craziest sports cities in America, runs his mouth and then looks like a dunce. And then the entire city hates us because they think that we are represented by him. Bilotti, is this not the story of our lives?
Oh, this has been the case since you guys moved to the time slot. And since before that.
Before that, yes.
I think you wimped out there. You're supposed to have my back. We're supposed to be boys. And you whimpered down and threw me under the bus a minute into the interview. And I, quite frankly, it's a little unfair.
I am not going to defend idiocy. I would have never gone on their radio station and said, there's no way you guys are ever going to get Odell Beckham. I would never say anything that defiant, because that's stupid.
But you had my back before the Odell Beckham trade. We talked about pre-show meeting. You said there's no chance the Browns are getting Odell. We all talked about it.
I never said there's no chance.
We said it in a pre-show meeting. We all laughed at that idea. And then when it happened, I was the one who had to fall on the sword.
No. When it... no.
How quickly we forget. You don't even remember to do a read, Bloody tells you. Now I'm going to trust what you remember from a meeting back in May.
Wrong,
and by the way, you were
wrong.
So quick to be off the day after we got traded, too.
Well,
I was here to pick up the pieces after that.
I did not know Odell was going to be traded the day that I took off. I had no idea. I did not duck that.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.